Okay. Oh, I feel like shit. Where was I going with this? I already forgot what I was gonna talk about. Oh yeah, we're gonna do book reviews. That's what I was gonna do. So, I'm a huge book nerd, and I have a cabinet in my room. Like, it's literally the only cabinet in my room, and it's one that my dad built, and it's like really pretty, but it's goes on the floor and it's like really tall, and I've got all of these books in it. And I figured I'd go through it and do some recommendations and book reviews through all of my coughing and post shower coldness, because I just got out of the shower and it's really cold. Okay, so let's see, where do we start? Okay, we'll start with one of my favorite books. It's called Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell. Rowell, I don't know how you pronounce it. But, oh, it is such a good book. When I first started reading it, I was like, this book is really boring. I'm not interested in this. You know, and I only read like half a chapter. I'm like, I'm not interested in this. But, you know, a few years ago, somebody told me, you know, you've got to give a book at least 50 pages before you can judge it based on whether you like it or not. So I kept writing, I kept, blah, 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 English mode. I kept reading it and kill me. Oh my God. So anyway, I read this and I can't even like talk about it. It's such a good book. It made me cry so many times throughout it. And you know, even if books never make you cry, this book will make you cry. It is so. It is probably the most realistic, awkward love story that I've ever read. And it's like, it's not even. It's like a real life romance when you're like growing up in school and stuff. And you know, you never get to see him outside of school, and she has an abusive family, so it's. Oh, it's just such a good book. Like, please read. Like, please read. Okay, what next? Ooh, my Shakespeare book. So I have this huge book that has every play William Shakespeare ever wrote, and it's in it. I've read every single one of them. It's got, like, hold on, I'll tell you how many pages it's got. It has 896 pages, and I have read every single one of them. My favorite. Okay, so these are the ones that are. I don't think it's every single one, but it's like the most popular ones of his. So the ones that are in it is A Midsummer Night's Dream, Much Ado About Nothing, As You Like It, Twelfth Night, Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, Othello, King Lear, and Macbeth. My favorite is probably As You Like It, but I also like Much Ado About Nothing. That one's really good. But those two are my probably my favorite. Romeo and Juliet's all right, but it's definitely not my favorite. Hamlet was pretty good too, but it was not my favorite. So anyway, there's that. So pull out the books that I've already done. I've got this whole cabinet organized by author in alphabetical order and in series. And then I've also got it by genre, so like I cannot get these mixed up because it took me an hour and a half just to get all of this organized. And I've got like probably like at least 200 books in here. And I have a lot by the same author. Okay, so the next book. I have a lot of Nicholas Sparks books. My favorite by Nicholas Sparks will probably always be a tie between The Longest Ride and The Notebook. And I don't even love The Notebook for, like, what everybody else loves it for. I just, like, I don't know. I like the plot of it. The plot is, like, really great. And it's really well written. So I definitely suggest those. To Kill a Mockingbird is pretty good, but, you know, some people don't like it. I like the way it's written. I'm not a huge fan of the actual storyline, but the way it's written is really well done. I like a book called Flowers of Algernon, or Flowers, if I can speak, Flowers for Algernon, and I say Flowers for Algernon, but some people pronounce it Algernon. I don't know. People pronounce it, like, a lot of different ways. I say Algernon. But, oh, it's such a good book. It's by Daniel Keyes. Oh, it's one of my favorites. There are these two books that I have. And basically, people found these diaries from these girls, and they edited them and twisted the names around and wrote a book about it. And it's basically every diary entry that's in the book, but just with different names for privacy reasons. So there's this one called Go Ask Alice. It's an older one. It is so good. So basically, this is what it's about. The harrowing true story of a teenager's descent into the seductive world of drugs. A diary so honest that you may think you know Alice, or someone like her at least. Read her diary, enter her world, and you'll never be able to forget her. It's really good. Really good. Really good. I have a very old copy because I found it at a thrift store. And I'm totally about to go off on a ramble, but oh, just the smell of old books, the yellowing pages. Oh my god, it's my favorite thing in the world. I love the smell of books. It's my favorite smell. One of my favorite smells. And the other one is called Dear Nobody, and it's called The True Diary of Mary Rose, Dear Nobody, but, oh, it's so good. Hold on, let me pull it out. Oh. Okay, so I'll read you the entry. So this is the introduction to the book. And this is what the author wrote. So it says, what if, don't worry, you'll grow out of it, doesn't apply to you? How would you choose to live your teenage life knowing that any day could be your last? Mary Rose wrote these journals between the ages of 15 and 17. And in them, she pours her heart out to everything from falling in love to fighting addiction to figuring out how to make her mark on the world. Her writing is powerful and raw, sometimes brutal, sometimes funny, and more often than not, very insightful. Through the English, though the internet existed in the mid-90s, it was not yet accessible to everyone. Most high school kids still wrote by longhand, passed notes on paper, and called their friends on a landline. Parents wouldn't track you via social media. And if you were walking alone at night in the rain along a highway, you probably wouldn't have a cell phone to call for a ride home. But most importantly, in this case, you didn't But most importantly, you didn't have to write your life in 140 characters or less. You wrote about your life in notebooks. Described it in long letters to your friend that were stamped and mailed, and took photographs that you got developed at a drugstore.
you could probably count the number of friends you had on two hands, and there was still a thing called privacy, and it was still possible to keep secrets about yourself. Your thoughts had room to develop still. You had time to contemplate. You could describe at length what the water felt like when you went skinny dipping that night. And you didn't have to worry about naked pictures popping up on Facebook the next day. And yet, the experiences and struggles that Mary Rose had are no different from the ones teenagers still face today. Loneliness, insecurity, depression, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, drug and alcohol problems, bullying, breakups, and divorce. Every word of this remarkable tale is true, though all of the names, except for Mary Rose's, have been changed to protect her. A friend of hers shared these journals with us after being asked, "What's the best thing that you've read lately?" And once we had the opportunity to read them ourselves, we were completely captivated. Though this book represents only a sample of the 600 pages of her work, we didn't change a word. Welcome to Mary Rose's extraordinary world, and we hope that you find her story just as unforgettable as we do. Gillian McCain. So anyway, I've read this 3 times, and it is so fucking great. I seriously suggest that you read it. Everybody should read it. And now I don't remember where I had this in line. Fuck. Hold on. Okay, never mind. I found it. Oh. Okay. I totally just did that and I don't really care. I didn't feel like pausing the audio. Y'all can deal. I'm a human. Let's see. What's next? Oh, I love this book. And the movie was even better. No, actually, I take that back. The book is better because the movie didn't have nearly any of the details that the book did. And it added in a sex scene when the book didn't even have a sex scene. Like, ugh, it pissed me off. But the book is fucking incredible. It's called Everything, Everything. There was a movie about it. I went to go see it the day it came out. But, oh, it's such a good book. I totally suggest that you read it. Oh. Let's see. A girl that drives a truck is such a good book too. Let's see. What's next? I gotta move all of these books to just see what all I've got. Bridge to Terabithia. I like the movie better than the book, but it is such a good story. Wuthering Heights was pretty good too. Most people don't like it, but I loved it. It was great. The Great Gatsby is pretty good too. Where the Heart Is. Such a good book. It's by Billy Lutz, and it's basically a story about a girl who is pregnant. Her boyfriend left her in a Walmart parking lot because he was a dick, and she had to rebuild her entire life, and she goes through this adventure with her pregnancy, with her baby. She ends up sleeping in a Walmart every night and having to make a living off of that, and oh, it is such a good book, and she meets all of these good people that help her out, and it's a book that restores your faith in humanity. Seriously, it is. I have read it twice, and it is such a good book. Let's see. Oh, I've got to move all of these books to get to the rest of them. Oh. Okay. Okay, I'm totally about to go on a complete and utter ramble, but it'll be worth it. So there is this author called Sarah Dessen. She is one of my favorite authors. She has so many books, and I own almost every single one of them. But my all-time favorite, and the first book I ever read of hers, is called The Truth About Forever. And it's such a good book. It's such a good book. Mental orgasm. Anyway. So yeah, that one's pretty good. Oh my god. That's not the right book. But that's a pretty good book too. It's called Kissed by an Angel. It's a really good book. It's by Elizabeth Chandler. It's really good. There's this book called Before I Fall by Lauren Oliver. It's really good. I have a lot of her books. Those are really good. Let's see. I hope we're getting into the naughty books. Okay. I have all three books of the 50 Shades of Grey series. And honestly, I'm not even really a fan of the story. I just like the sex scenes. So, that's what I have them for. There's this book called Dark Secrets, and there are two books, and the first one is called Dark Secrets 1, and it's by Elizabeth Chandler as well. It is a horror slash sci-fi slash virtual reality book. Oh, it's such a good book, and it's so creepy and perfect, and ugh, I love it. So that one's good. Obviously, gotta recommend The 50 Shades of Grey if you like smut. If you like BDSM smut, that is. Let's see. The If I Stay series was pretty good. I have read If I Stay and Where She Went. I believe there is a third book, but I have not read it. Looking for Alaska by John Green. Okay, hold on, wait. I gotta rant for a second. Sorry, I heard a noise and kind of freaked out for a second. Sorry to pause the audio, but we're all good. Okay. Anyway, John Green is probably my all-time... No, I take that back. Is my second or third favorite author of all time. So, Paper Towns, the book, is incredibly good. The Fault in Our Stars, the book, is incredibly good. Looking for Alaska is one of my favorites. I have a lot more of his books too. I just recommend all of his books. Yeah, we'll just recommend all of his books. And then, my first favorite, Natasha Preston. She is such a good writer. She writes these crazy, weird stories, and they're so perfect. The first book I ever read from her was called, The Cellar. And here, like, I'll just pull out both of the books in that series. Or, well, they're not in a series. I say they're in a series, but they're not really in a series. But I read them together, so I technically consider it a series. Don't crush your fingers. Ow! Oh, come on. Work with a girl. Oh. Okay. So... The Cellar. That's what we were talking about. I'll just go ahead and read you the back of the book. It's so... Like, I seriously... If you like creepy kidnap stories, this one is the best one that I can recommend to you. So anyway, this is... It's an excerpt from the story itself, which is what's on the back. Okay. Lily? My stomach dropped as a tall, dark-haired man stepped into view. Had he been hiding between the trees? No, sorry. Gulping, I took a step back. I'm not Lily. He shook his head, a satisfied grin on his face. No, you are Lily. I'm Summer. You have the wrong person, you utter freak. I could hear my pulse crashing in my ears. How stupid to give him my real name. He continued to stare at me, smiling widely. It made me feel sick. You are Lily, he repeated. Before I could blink, he threw his arms forward and grabbed me. I tried to shout, but he clasped his hand over my mouth, muffling all of my screams. My heart raced. I'm going to die. So, it's great. And then this is another part. It says, for months, Summer is trapped in a cellar with a man that took her and three other girls, Rose, Poppy, and Violet. His perfect and pure flowers, his family. But flowers can't survive long cut off from the sun.
and time is starting to run out. Please read it. Please read it. Okay, and then another book of hers is called Awake. I haven't read this one all the way through. I am 3/4 through, and I haven't finished it yet because I kind of just stopped reading it by accident. And I started reading another book, so I've got to finish this one. But it says, this is an excerpt, and it says, "Of course, the dress was white. This is what I'm supposed to die in, I thought. Not many people knew what their last outfit would be. I pulled it over my head. It fit me perfectly. It had long, loose-fitting sleeves, a modest neckline, and waves of material on the skirt. I absolutely hated it. There were no shoes, and I was afraid I'd have to run through the forest barefoot. But there weren't a lot of options left. Besides, I'd run barefoot over a bed of nails to get away from him. Scarlet, are you ready?" he called. I looked in the mirror and took a deep breath. I guess it's time to fight for my life now. And so this is the summary. Scarlet Garner doesn't remember anything before the age of 4, but a car accident changes everything. She starts to remember pieces of a past that frightens her, a past her parents hid from her, and a secret that could absolutely get her killed. It's really good. I haven't finished it yet, and I'm really excited to finish it, but I just haven't gotten a chance to, because I've been reading 30,000 other books at the same time. I didn't do that. That was totally not me. I don't know what you're talking about. You can call me gross if you want. I really don't care. I'm a human. We have needs. I like burping. Let's see. There's a book called Take Me There. It is such a good book. It's a Southern story. Oh, but it is such a good book. So it says, I have finished this one 3 times. I've read this 3 times. That's how good it is. But it says, "On the run and headed nowhere fast, Dylan has a bad boy past and a criminal record. He knows that rich and beautiful Jess is way too good for him, but she has always been the one person who sees through his tough exterior and straight to his heart. And he has been hopelessly in love with her from the first time that they ever met. He would change his life for a chance with her, but trouble follows Dylan wherever he goes, and a deadly mistake soon forces him to hit the road and leave all of his dreams behind. He's on the run and in search of answers. Answers to questions that he wished he had never asked." It's such a good book. Please read it. I beg. Please. Just read it. I put it on the wrong shelf. No. Bad habit. I was just sticking it somewhere. I can't do that. I spent too much time organizing this to let it go to waste. Okay. The one that I was really excited to talk about, that's all the ones that I'm going to talk about, but I have a lot more. Oh. Stand up. Oh, try not to fall. Anyway. There's this other book. It's called Come Back to Me, and it's by Mila Gray. It's such a good book, but it leaves you on a cliffhanger, and there's a sequel, but I cannot find it anywhere. I can't wait to find it, though, because I gotta find out the ending. Okay, let me read the back to you. A fellow Marine, just like her brother Riley, Kit is completely off limits, and Jessa knows better than to give in to her feelings for her brother's best friend. But when Kit arrives home, on leave for the summer, Jessa can't help but sense a change in him. He's talking to her differently, looking at her differently, touching her differently. Kit is tired of hiding his feelings for Jessa, the one girl he can't have but the one girl that he wants, the one girl that he needs. Risking everything, the two decide to act upon their mutual attraction and embark on a summer romance that eventually blossoms into a love story. It's wonderful, magical, it's perfect. Until Kit redeploys. Neither Kit nor Jessa are ready to say goodbye to each other. Instead, they make promises to each other. Jessa will wait for Kit, and no matter how long it takes, Kit will come back to her. But something more than distance and time plans to rip them apart as Jessa learns that someone she loves is dead, killed overseas. As All Jessa can do is wait to hear the name of her loved one that she's lost. Her brother or her boyfriend. Is it Riley or is it Kit? And that's how the end. That's how the book ends, and it doesn't tell you who it is. It doesn't tell you whether it's Kit or if it's Riley, and it's. I hate it. I hate the cliffhanger. But it's such a good fucking book. Please read. Please. Oh, my favorite thing about this book is the sex scenes. That's another reason why I have it. I mean, the story is great, of course. I love the plot line. But the sex scenes? Let me just explain, okay? At the beginning of the book, I have a sticky note that says, scenes to always remember, and then it's got all of the sex scenes listed and the page numbers. So, hold on. I gotta flip to it. So, on my favorite scene... I have a sticky note on the page that it starts, and it says, this scene made completely unhuman sounds come from my mouth. Proceed with caution. Oh, I miss this story. Oh, I love this story. Fuck. Ah, the first time I ever read this story, I mean, this scene... I read in Walmart. I was walking around in Walmart. My dad was grocery shopping. This was a long time ago, but... So I was reading this, and my legs got so wobbly that I couldn't even stand, and I almost fell over a few times, so I convinced my dad to let me stand on the front of the cart, and he would pull me. So he did, and that's how I read it, and... Let's just say, was I happy to get home afterwards? It is such a good book. Such a good book. Oh, I love it. I'm talking and reading the scene at the same time. Okay, I can't resist. I'm gonna read this out loud. I'm not gonna read the whole thing out loud, but I'm gonna read like this one little paragraph. Okay, so anyway. This author is so descriptive, and that's what I love about it. So anyway, okay, it says, I nod, not trusting myself to speak. He leans over me once more and starts kissing me gently, his tongue twining with mine. Teasing and sure, and after a while I relax, sighing as I sink into the bed. He nudges my head to one side and moves his attention to the spot just beneath my ear that he knows makes me squirm. His hands begin to wander down my dress. The satin feels like cool water flowing against my body, but Kit's hands sear heat through it, making me feverish, my skin so sensitive to the touch, it hurts. He sweeps his hand over my breast, completely taking me by surprise, and I arch up with a cry, my nipple hardening. He takes the straps of my dress and pulls them down, taking it in his mouth, and I have to clutch the sheets to hold myself down. His tongue traces patterns across my skin, and I let go of the sheets and run my fingers through his hair, gripping him by the shoulders as he sucks harder, making my stomach muscles contract tight and a low throb start between my legs. Kit sits up and pulls me up with him, so we're both kneeling on the bed. I start undoing his shirt and he watches me the whole time, a strange look on his face, like he's having to fight every instinct in his body not to pick me up in his arms and toss me back onto the bed where I was. When I strip his shirt off and place my palms on his chest, he doesn't make any move, but his arms are locked tight by his sides and the muscles in his neck are taut as a bow. I lean forward and kiss him, breathing in deep, tasting his skin, but after a few moments, he pulls back. I'm not reading that. I can't read that out loud. I nod, and nerves make me gulp down my breaths, which makes my head start to spin. Kit reaches forward towards my knees and takes hold the hem of my dress. Slowly, he starts lifting it, running his palms along my thighs as he does. I lift my arms in the air, and he slides my dress up and over my head. I keep my eyes closed, embarrassed and a little self-conscious. I'm kneeling in front of him, almost completely naked, and I can feel his eyes on me. They're as warm as his hands are. "Open your eyes," I hear him say. I do, and he's looking right at me. He takes my face in his hands, and he kneels closer. "You are so goddamn sexy. I could just look at you all night, and I'd be perfectly fine with it." He brushes my lips with his and then lowers me back down onto the bed. I can't read anymore or something's going to start happening and I'm not going to be able to control myself. So never mind. This goes on for like 10 more pages. So. Why am I still reading? I can't take my eyes away. "I want you," I say. "No," he answers, "not tonight." "Please," I hear myself say, and I cannot believe I'm begging. My skin is burning, my eyes are burning, thoughts evaporate in my head faster than they arrive. I can't think straight. I just know that there's nothing I want more right now than Kit. I need him. Kit kisses me, harder this time, and I feel his arousal. Can feel how hard he is. He wants me too. I try to reach for him, but he scoots out of my arms and back away with a playful smile on his lips. I watch him through heavy lids. Stubble is darkening his jaw, and there are thin red lines across his chest where I've scratched him. I don't have time to process this before my hands are on my hips. I lift up without him even having to ask me, keeping his eyes on me the whole time, and he pulls my underwear off. I bite my lip as I watch him, the muscles in his arms contracting as he lifts me, the wave of barely restrained desire that crosses his face. My hips lift to their own accord. Kit kneels between my thighs, parting them gently, and then he kisses me right between my legs, and I let out a gasp of surprise and pleasure that instantly... Deep breath. And I let out a gasp of surprise and pleasure that instantly ratchets up another notch as his tongue starts to circle and tease. Holy shit. I bite my lip even harder to stop myself from screaming out, my fingernails digging into his back. Within seconds, Kit brings me to the brink of an orgasm. My first with any guy. But as though he senses it, he pulls back, completely stopping. I flop back down onto the bed, letting out a loud moan, and after a moment, during which my heart batters against my rib cage in frustration, his fingers start exploring where his tongue left off. When he pushes inside of me for the first time, my eyes fly open and I rise off of the bed. He rubs me with his thumb, and again in seconds I'm on the brink, calling out his name. He stops abruptly once more, and I want to cry at the pleasure mixed with the pain that he's causing me. I'm blinded by how much I want to feel him inside of me, but before I can reach for him, he bends again, and using his tongue brings me to the most insane, body-melting, bone-crushing orgasm that I have ever experienced. I don't know how long it lasts for, but I lie there, feeling wave after wave of pleasure pulling me down into a hazy dreamland. I'm vaguely aware of Kit laying beside me, stroking my stomach and dropping the occasional kiss against my shoulder as I shudder, my muscles still completely spasming. Slowly the world starts to press in again, and I become aware that I'm still lying naked, splayed out on display for him. I curl onto my side, pressing against Kit, and he pulls me into his arm and kisses the top of my head. It's only now that I start to become more embarrassed. I just lay there. I didn't even do anything. He must be so completely frustrated. Oh God, I fucked up. I begin to reach for him. I'm not going to read the rest of that. Oh God. Now I've done started something. I'm a little hazy, fuck. That's always one of my favorite scenes, but it still goes on for like quite a few more pages. Oh, fuck. Everything is hazy, fuck. Well, that's it for this audio, I guess. I've got a problem to go take care of. So, yeah, I hope y'all enjoyed. And y'all should check out those books. Especially the one I was just reading.